that math just doesn't add up. Three went in, three came out. Where'd that fourth man go? Amen. I like that. That's a good old song. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's still in the fire with you and me this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Man, it's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Good to be in the house of God. Amen. While you're standing, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning as we change the order of the service. Father, Lord, it's a privilege once again, Lord, to be able to gather in your precious name, Lord. Just, Lord, worship you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. We could never thank you enough, Lord. But Lord, we want to be faithful, Father, to lift your name, Lord, on high. We want to lift your name out to all the nations, Lord. We want to testify to this world what you've done, Lord. We want to be shining lights, Lord, that show forth in this age that we live in, this time, Lord, to everyone that we run into, Lord. We want to be a shining light of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, Lord, what you've done in our lives. And Lord, we just count it a privilege and an opportunity here this morning, Lord, to come a little higher, Father, to draw a little closer to you, to be a little bit more like you, to let your word, Lord, cut away a little bit more of our flesh and of any worldliness, Lord, that would try and attach itself to us. And Lord, we want to be mindful, Lord, that it's an important time, and it's a time when you're gathering your people together, Lord, around your word. And so, Lord, we just want to look to your word this morning, knowing that it is the foundation, Lord. It's the beginning and the ending. It's our authority, and Lord, it's everything to us. And we just pray that you would open it to our hearts this morning, and that you would speak to each one, Father. We thank you, and we just want to again just pray for the remaining of the meetings there in Española, Lord. Many traveled there this weekend, including our pastor, and we just pray that you'd be with them, Father. And we pray for traveling mercies for all that would be traveling home from that, Father. But, Lord, that they would also just take with them something special, Lord, from the meetings there, Father, and that they would just be refreshed, Father. We thank you, Lord, and we just ask you to bless your word as we read it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just read in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning as we get into the word. And, let's just go ahead and read the scripture and then we'll be seated. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him." And you know where it says there, he's blessed us with all the spiritual blessings, and we know we're in heavenly places. But it comes back to, it says, according to. He did that because of this fact, that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. It's not just a little light dose. Amen. He has abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. He made known the mystery of his will. Amen. That's why he came, is to make it known to us, to make himself known to us, to unveil himself to us, to make known to us what he wants. Amen. He said, what I hide from my friend, what I hide from Abraham, what I'm going to do, would he hide from his bride what he wants to do? But he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Again, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, and even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We have obtained an inheritance. He's saying that we, each one of us, has a part. Right? You have a place. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of that inheritance. Amen? Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. You can have your seats this morning. I know that's a long scripture reading. And these are things that we've been gleaning from the scripture as a body. And I just want to, you know, take a moment to echo what Brother Eli said on Sunday. You know that he and I, we sit under the same ministry that you do. Amen. We are partaking of the same word. And God uses his offices. He uses the office of the pastor to direct the church spiritually. Right. And then we all follow that direction. Right. Amen. So it's not his place or my place to take the church in a different direction or do, you know, preach something different or something beyond one way or another. But what we do, and you probably notice that happens a lot, we are receiving the same word that you are, and we come back around with things that are being preached, and we just preach them the way that we, in our own way. Right. Amen? We're getting things from the word just like you are, and when we express the word, we're getting different things, and we're bringing back and saying the same thing that's being said in a different way. And that's just the way that the word is. Amen? Is that's any gift of God, that's any ministry. It's unique, and it's just, we're just expressing what God puts on our hearts, each individual one. And we're all different. Amen? And you're expressing the word of God a little bit differently than I would express the word of God. And your life is living out different things. Amen? But we're all part of the same word. And we all have the same Father. Amen? And it's all from the same life, the same original tree of life. Amen. So, on that note, last Sunday morning, I brought the subject of the people of the book, and he came looking for me. Amen? That we were a people that were their names written on a book, but he came looking for those names. That he has and is searching out each one on that book. Amen? And how that those names, they were put there before creation. And they were there in the mind of God. Amen? That God had those names placed. And that book, remember, it's not like ink and paper. Right? It's not necessarily like he has a literal book that he's got a pen and he's written them down. And they're not literal names either. The names are the expression of individuals, if I could put it that way. It's the attributes of who you are. Amen? We'll get into that in a little bit here, but these are all things that Brother Doug has been bringing about the book, and he's been talking about the book of redemption, and he's been talking about how that the book of redemption is being lived out. Amen. And so we want to just kind of fall into that. And I just want to share these things with you this morning, if we could, as the things that the Lord's been showing me through that. Is that all right? Yep. Amen. So I'm going to do my best to take my time here this morning. That doesn't mean I'm going to be long. Don't worry. You know that I'm not long-winded, so to speak, but I do want to just belabor some of these things a little bit. Amen. So again, the idea is that there's this, the Lamb's Book of Life that God He foreknew and predestinated his children. And we see that, and we read it last time in Revelation 13:8. We won't read it this time, but those the names that were placed in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? And in his mind, he had an image for each of these children. And when he created man, when he created Adam, he created male and female together. But the Bible says that he created man in the image, in his image, right? And that is a distinction from all else that was created, in that man was made in his image. And, you know, we say, well, that's, you know, body, soul, and spirit. That's true. The way that man is made up, it's like the way that God is made up, but it's more than that. It's part of him. He didn't say about the trees and the, you know, the animals and all these different things that you're made in my very image. But man is in his image. That's why he says we are the children of God. Amen. And because he had that in his mind, that they would be made in his image, well, what does that mean in his image? That means that they would have portions of his character. Right? And we say that like attributes. Well, what do you mean by attribute? Well, an attribute is just something that is a part of someone. So, you know, we would say that we have physical attributes. You know, my physical attributes are I'm 5'11", you know, I'm male and dark hair, right? Those are physical attributes. But we're talking about his spiritual attributes. That is his character, who he is, what he is. Amen? The very nature of God himself. And that we would be the ones to be made in that image, that we would express his character. Not all completely individually, right? Not that each individual would completely express God's character, but in part, little parts of it. Amen? Here and there. And there was only one that was all the fullness of God. But that we would express just a little portion of God. Amen? And as part of that, we are developing character through the trials and things that we experience. We know that Jesus Christ experienced things, and the Bible says that he learned obedience through the things which he suffered, right? Well, we're doing that as well. And, you know, I was thinking about that this morning. We always say, oh, we're getting character through our trials and sufferings. And even, you know, the Bible says it's the sufferings and the trials. We count them as gold, and because it's trying to encourage us, right? But it's also true, brother, sister, that we gain character through good times too. Amen. So it doesn't have to just be all, you know, trials and suffering. Amen. We gain character through it all. Our entire life, that's what we're doing, is we are being conformed in his image so that we can reflect his character, amen, by our own character that's being developed in our own unique way, amen? So, but we know that that was his purpose. That was his goal. That was what was in his mind for you and each child of God to express a little portion of him. And they would have come forth if it hadn't been for the fall, and they would have done that. Amen? But the fall came forth, and they're still going to do that. It's just they're doing it in a little different way. Amen? And that way is that because of sin, he had to make a way. Now, he knew that as well, because the Bible says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. And so he made that way so that we could then be reconciled, and that he would go out and search each one that was buried under sin, each child of God, and he would find them wherever they were, and he would pull them out of that muck and mire of sin, and he would clean them up. Amen. Save them and sanctify them and set them aside for his service and fill them with his spirit. And anoint them so that they could then walk in his ways. so that they could walk in a way that reflected the Master. Amen? And you could sum it all up with these two words. He would say, follow me. Amen? Amen. When Jesus was walking, you know, the shores of Galilee, and he was in a physical form as a man, that's what he would say, right? He walked up to Peter, and he said, follow me. Matthew, follow me. James, John, all of them. Each one, follow me. Right? What was he doing? He was finding the names that were on the book. Amen? He was, as it were, going down the list. Amen? Okay, next is this one. Next is this one. He didn't get an extra one. He got all the ones that were on the book. Right? But he called Judas, of course. Well, you think, well, what about Judas? Well, many are called, but few are chosen. Right? He was predestinated for a specific purpose. Amen? And he proved what that was about when it came to Pentecost, Brother Branham said, which is that we'll get to that later. Amen? But what I want to focus on here is it's the same process. Right? Where Jesus is saying, you follow me. Follow me. Amen? He's calling, and then we answer, okay, I'll follow you. Well, what does that mean? Right? He went looking for them, and he called them by name. Amen. Doesn't the Bible say when Jesus speaks about the parable of the shepherds, he says, he calls each one by their name. My Father knows them. Amen? They hear my voice and I call, well, he says, they hear the shepherd's voice and he calls them by name. Well, when Jesus again was walking in flesh, he called them by their earthly name. Peter, James, John, right? But now he's calling you by name. But it's not your earthly name. It's a call in the spirit realm. Amen? Now, what's beautiful about that little parable or that little type there is about the sheep. Well, how did those sheep get those names? I mean, we don't know what the sheep's names were, right? Spot? Fluffy? Right? What was the sheep's name? They had names, but those sheep didn't choose their own name. Amen. The shepherd gave him the name. Yeah, amen. And if you've ever been around, you know, animals very much, you and you've got a lot of them, you got a name. Usually what they tend to do is name them after their characteristics. Right? Like I just mentioned, Fluffy and Spot. Well, Spot's probably got a spot on him. Right? And Fluffy's really fluffy. Right? And old Limpy over here, he's got a bad leg. Right? Or whatever. He would name them. The shepherd would give them their name. Tell them what their name was, and then call them by name. Amen. Hallelujah. And they would respond to the name given to them by the shepherd. So the book of redemption doesn't have our earthly names on it. It has the name that God has given to us. And it's how he calls us. Amen? Now let's just read this. So we want to take our time, so we're going to read some statements here and just kind of go through this morning. This is from the message, Questions and Answers on the Seals. Now, many of these, Brother Doug has been reading through the course of this, but I'm kind of consolidate it so I can show you, amen, how God has put on my heart. Amen? Now, these are the questions and answers on the seals. And the question is here, Brother Branham, is it true that every Jew born since Christ came will be saved? And who are the 144,000? And are the predestinated ones to be sealed with the Holy Ghost? And what is their mission? Now he says there's about three questions in one there. He says, but here the first one is it true that every Jew born since Christ came into the world will be saved? No. Nothing will be saved, only those names that were put on the Lamb's Book of Life. So he's just saying, by virtue of just being a Jew, they're not saved, right? That's not where salvation isn't in the Judaic law, right? But he says those names that were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, Jew or Gentile, because that's where salvation is in Christ, amen? He says that's all. Now listen to what he says about this. He kind of expounds it a little bit. He says the book holds that mystery. And the book is only unfolding it now. Not each one's name, but what the mystery of the book is while it's calling those names. Do you understand that now? So he's going to explain it a little bit further. He says the book doesn't say now Lee Vail is to be saved in the time of this church age. So it doesn't have your earthly name, right? Or Orman Neville or whoever. It doesn't say that. It just shows the mystery, unfolds the mystery of what the thing is. But then we ourselves, by faith, we believe it. That's what I said the other night. Someone said, well, there's no need me trying it. Brother Branham said there was only going to be one saved out of Jeffersonville. See, he says now it's showing a parable. He says there might be thousands saved. I don't know. I hope every one of them is saved. I don't know. But here's the way I want you to believe it, that I'm that one. You believe the same for you. Now, let me just stop here. I'm going to come back to this. But the reason that he's saying that is that because you can't get the revelation of someone else being on that book.
Amen.
Right? You can't hear the shepherd call someone else's name for them. Right? All you can hear is the shepherd call your name. And say, well, I know that he called my name. Amen? So you can't get a revelation for someone else. He says, but you believe the same for you. And if you don't, there's something wrong with your faith. You're not sure. You're not sure what you're doing. And that's what this is all about. This is about being sure. This is about knowing. This is about knowing for sure that Jesus Christ has saved, sealed me. I'm filled with His Spirit. I have eternal life. And I know that when He comes, I'm going in the rapture. That's what it's about in this time, being sure of that. So you got to be sure. And if you don't, there's something wrong with your faith. Your faith is just placed in the wrong area. Amen? He says, you're not sure what you're doing. How can you walk up there in the face of death when you're not too sure if you're saved or not? That's a good question. How can you face down demons when you don't know where you're standing? You've got to know who you are and what you're doing. Amen. When you face the evil of this age and to face death. And death is coming, brother, sister. Amen. Spiritual death. This is the time of the going away. This is the time of the Exodus. The last plague in the original Exodus was death. The death angel going about the land. And in today, it's not natural death, it's spiritual death. People are dead in their sins and they don't even know it. He says, how can you go down here and say to a crippled man laying there, blinded and twisted up, thus saith the Lord, rise up, Jesus Christ makes you whole. How? He's asking the question, how can you do that? Amen? Now, you could flip this around a little way if you want to look at it a little differently and say that means you should be able to do that. If you know, amen? When Peter and John stood, they ain't called beautiful, and they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. What did he have to give that you don't? Or that you shouldn't? You should have. Right? Thus saith the Lord, rise up. Jesus Christ makes you whole. How can you stand by a stiff, cold body laying there that's dead and been dead for hours and hours, laying there cold and stiff, and say, thus saith the Lord, rise to your feet? You better have to know what you're talking about, see? Well, you say death claims everything. It's all gone. Yeah, but when the word of God is revealed and you know it's God, that changes things. Amen. Hallelujah. So he brings in, talking about this book of redemption and the names that are on the book, and he brings in this idea of the mystery unfolding, right? And he says that it will be revealed as it unfolds, right? In other words, every name that's on the book is just a mystery that's waiting to be unfolded and revealed. We don't have to wonder about it once it's unfolded. Amen? I mean, Paul's name was on the book. But Paul, that's not a mystery. Amen? We know about Paul's life. Paul's life was unfolded and lived out and manifested, and Paul lived his life and did what he did, and that is no longer a mystery. Is that right? Amen. I mean, look at the Messiah. Let's look at the Messiah for a minute. And I'm only bringing this out because, there can be lots of talk in this message and about these things, about mysteries and making it mysterious. But the mystery has been unfolded, or it is unfolding. Amen? And it shouldn't be mysterious to us. Right. Just as the Messiah. Now, all the way up through the book of Malachi and through the early Testament, New Testament, those early times, the Messiah was a mystery. Yep. The Messiah was spoken of and prophesied by Isaiah and many others all through the prophets. They spoke about it. Moses said, one like unto me will rise up. It's a, you know, the root and offspring of Jesse, and he'll be the Prince of Peace. He'll be Emmanuel. He'll be a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, right? All those scriptures. There's like 300 some prophecies about Jesus Christ. That he would be rejected, and that they wouldn't break one bone, and right, all of those. I mean, you can just go through them. Like I said, there's hundreds of them. Born of a virgin. What a mystery. Amen. They were wondering, they were grasping at it and grow. I don't know, maybe it means this, and maybe it means that, and we're not sure. Maybe that born of a virgin, maybe that was just an allegory. I don't know, you know. Oh, through time, it was a mystery to the believers. It was hidden from them until it came time. Now, for you and I, we look back at that, and it's not a mystery to us. We don't talk about it as the mystery of the Messiah. We don't use those words together, right? Because it's not a mystery. It's plain to us. Now, there are still Jews living today that it's still a mystery to, because their eyes are blinded to it. The Bible says that they were blinded for our sake. Amen, is that right? But all of that, we can now easily... I mean, the youngest child in Sunday school can now look at the prophecies in the Bible and say, oh, that's Jesus Christ. Right? It's not a mystery. Because it's been revealed. Because it's been unveiled. Because it was brought to pass. Such a powerful truth that Brother Branham brought to us is God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. Amen? So we know the name of the Messiah. You see, that was one of the mysteries. What is the name of the Messiah? Amen? If they would have known the name, they would have just, oh, when he came along, oh, there he is, there's his name. No, it was hell. It was mysterious. But now we know the name has been manifested. And that is not a mystery any longer. Just like I said about Paul and Peter, those were names under the book. And they've been manifested. And they're not mysterious. Amen? Every name that's come forth was a mystery until it's been unveiled, until it's been revealed. So then the greatest mystery, though, is for us personally. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's just read a couple more scriptures here about Jesus. And we have to follow in his example. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure." And then he said, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And he's quoting the book of Psalms. Amen. And he's recognizing, he's saying that he is written in the book. He's written in God's word. And then in Luke 24:42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish. This is after the crucifixion and the resurrection. By the way, that whole thing was a mystery to them. Amen. That the Son of Man, he told them, the Son of Man must suffer, the Son of Man's gonna rise, you know, tear down this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. All of these things were a mystery to the disciples. But now, then, it became evident. He gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me." Amen? All things in the Word about me had to be fulfilled. That tells me that he knew what was in the Word about him. Amen? He had found himself in the volume of the book. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew, and more importantly, who he was. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And that is no longer a mystery to them. Amen? So we don't call it a mystery. Brother Doug, he likes mysteries. He talks about this, you know, how he enjoys a good mystery novel or whatever. I don't like mysteries. I have a tendency to go back and read the end. And, you know, he talks about how he loves it, how it would ruin it to go to the end, because the whole point of reading a mystery, you know, is the whole process of going through trying to figure out what if it's this and what if it's that, and oh, the tension and the suspense, and oh, I thought it was this, but then it's a twist, and then that's the story, right? I'm far more practical. I don't like mysteries. If I get into a mystery, I can only take it for so long. I go to the back of the book and I read, oh, okay, that's what it is, and then I'll... It's terrible. Really, it gives me no joy to read mysteries because of that. It's just a character flaw. Amen? But there's a lesson in that. Once I've read the back, nothing else before it is a mystery to me. The mystery is gone. Amen? It's gone. You can't even call it a mystery anymore. Well, I'll tell you what happens. Amen? Because I know. I know what happens. And I feel, brother, sister, sometimes that's the way it is in our message. Amen? I know what happens. It's not a mystery. It's not mysterious. God has opened his word to us. He's opened our eyes. He's opened our understanding. Just like he did for the disciples here about this, what happened to him. That's what he's done with the opening of the word. He's opened our understanding. Now, obviously, there are still some things that we don't know. We don't know, like, exactly the time of the coming of the Lord. And there are things that he's hidden back, of course. We know that. But the things concerning me, right? The things concerning us. Things that people struggle with. It's like, but I know that's... I read the back. I read the end. I know what happens. Amen. I feel like that sometimes. Amen. So my point in all of that is that, that we shouldn't be caught up in, we shouldn't be caught up in the mystery novel of the Bible, right? We shouldn't be so worked up in, oh, I've got to just figure out this mystery and, oh, if I could just grab a hold. No, just let him open it. When he opens it, it's simple. Amen? So just as he found out who he was, we've got to find our place. We've got to find out who we are in the volume of the book. Amen? Now, of course, he was the Messiah. So, like I said, there's 300-some prophecies specifically about him. And the Bible doesn't specifically call out you or I as individuals, right? But it does speak about us as a group, as a body, as a class of believers. Amen? And it identifies different classes of people, different groups of people. Amen? And you can find yourself in there. In fact, you must find yourself in there. Amen? It calls out the believers of the Laodicean age. That's who we are. Amen? And it says certain things about them and what they will do and how they will act and how they will conduct themselves and what attributes they will have. And it speaks about every age and how it will unfold. Amen? And it's not a mystery when it's unfolded. We always come back to the Word of God. And we have to find ourselves in the Word of God. And we have to found our life and attach our life back to the Word of God. Now listen to this. We want to look at this. Very important, you know, this just sets things back into balance in our message ranks here. This is from the rapture message. It says, now the book was written. He says, but remember, it was sealed with seven seals. See the rapture message? It's the next one there. He says, the seven seals was not to be opened, Revelation 10, until the sounding of that last earthly angel on earth, Revelation 10, 7, see? And in the days of the sounding of the last angel's message, the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished in that age. So, you know, mystery should be revealed, right? Not more mysterious. We all know that we're living in the Laodicean age, and there will never be another age to it. It can't be. So we're living in the Laodicean age, and these seven seals that's held that book is a mystery to people that should be open at that day. And that's what he promised. Now, listen to this. This is where we wanted to just kind of highlight this. He says, now it won't be nothing outside the Word. Amen.
Amen.
That just settles us, right? That just takes us back to the Word. It's not something outside the Word, because you can't add to the Word or take away from it. It's got to remain always the Word. But the revelation is to reveal the truth of it. What it is, to make it fit with the rest of the Scripture, and then God vindicates that to be the truth. Amen. So that revealing of that Word, it's a revealing of it. It's not new, it's not added, it's not some other book. But it's God coming down and anointing our understanding and our eyes to see and our giving us our the revelation of His Word for us, for today. Amen? So it all comes back to that Word. So that Word is speaking about us. Like I said, it's not speaking about you specifically as an individual, your individual life. It doesn't describe you as an individual, but it describes us as a group. Amen? And the book of redemption holds the individual names. Right? So, and we know that that book was foreordained. The book of names foreordained. And that the names were written before time, before creation. Amen? Because God knew everything. Amen. And knows everything. Amen. And he knew and he knows exactly how every person would be, and he has certain thoughts and attributes, and everything is known to him. From the beginning to the ending, before there was a beginning or an ending, outside of the idea of beginning and ending. He knows everything. That's what's so hard for us to grasp sometimes. Because we're stuck in between beginning and ending. We're in time, right? Linear. And he's in eternity. And he knows in eternity all and all of it. Beginning, ending, before beginning and ending, outside of beginning and ending. And he knows all of it. So what we want to look at here is just that book and how sure, again, this is about making it sure for us. Amen? That we can stand in front of death and not waver. That we can stand before demon powers and not waver. So from the Sardesian church age, he says this. He says, now if we impute omniscience, that means just knowing everything, right? To God, we must also accept that he is perfect in wisdom and righteousness. If he knows everything, then he's going to be perfect in all of those attributes, right? Complete. He has complete and total knowledge. So that means this plan of election and reprobation, so both sides, the elect and the reprobate, right, the good and the bad, is the wisdom of God. But it's being revealed in all ages. Even as it says in Ephesians 1, 3 through 11. Now we're not going to read this because this is what we read at the beginning. But he does quote that whole scripture that we read right at the beginning. In the italics there, so we'll just go to the bottom of the italics. But I left it there for completeness for you, if you want to go back and look at that. He says, thus, if God has so designed, there will be those whose names are placed in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life and cannot be erased, for they are the names of his bride, then we must accept that. Just scroll down a little bit. Yeah, it's just at the bottom of the... there you go, right there. They cannot be erased, for they are the names of his bride. Then we must accept that. Right? We've got to accept it. Everybody's got to accept it. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. Right? And if it also states that there are those whose names were placed in the record of the book of life, but in the foreknowledge of God they were to fall and have their names removed, we must accept that. And if there are those whose names were never placed upon a record of life, we must accept that also. And if there are those who will enter into life eternal after the white throne judgment, solely on the grounds of being good and kind and just to the elect of God who are his brethren, then we cannot but accept that. For who knoweth the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? Rather, let us be subject in faith to him who is our Father and live. Amen. Amen. Who are we to question God? Amen. All of this is his idea. Just the fact that you're sitting on something solid material was his idea. He came up with the idea of the atoms and the molecules spinning the way that they do to make solid things that you could sit on it. Everything that we know, everything we are and everything is his idea. Who are we to instruct him and to tell him, well, that you really shouldn't do it this way? I think he knows best, don't you? So knowing that, it's not about, and it's already set, right? So knowing that, what this whole thing is about is discovery. You know, that's all science does. Science is just discovering what God has done. Is that right? God's created, he's put all these laws in place, and all they're doing is discovering things. I'm glad they actually call it that, scientific discovery, right? They're not making up new things, they're just learning about what God has already done. And so when it comes to the book, all of this is discovery. We're learning who is who. Right? We're learning who we are. We're finding out according to the Word, or by the Word and by His Holy Spirit. He's unveiling and we're discovering what's in the book. That's the mystery of that book. Who's in it? Who's in which book? Amen? So then from the message, who do you say this is? Notice these are all preached very late in the ministry, right? December of 64. He says, notice, how few recognized him to be the anointed word of that day. You see, God in the beginning, being infinite, knowed all things from the beginning. And the only thing that these things are is the display of his attributes. He says, you have an attribute. It's your thought. You think of something, you speak it, then you take it. He says, that's God. He says, in the beginning, he says, if you ever was or ever will be in heaven, you was in heaven to start with. You're part of God. You were his thought. Now, of course, he's not saying that we were there in our current form, right? Not like the Mormons teach or whatever, right? But we were there in his thought. We were part of him, right? That's what he said. You are part of God. You were his thought. He knew your name. He knew who you were before there was ever a molecule, before there was ever a light, before there was anything. He knew you and your name and put it on the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was ever formed. See? You were his thought. And then you become word. And a word is a thought expressed. And then you are manifested. So that's what all of this is about. It's about manifesting God's thoughts. So we're just trying to figure out, am I a thought? Amen? Yeah. Amen. Am I in the book? So we are in that process to find out. And God, as I said before, he's seeking out the names that are in the book and he's calling them. Right. That's how we find out. It's not me telling you, your name's in the book. No. Well, you know, that doesn't mean squat. Amen? It really doesn't. Why? Because I haven't seen the book. There's only one person who has seen the book. And he calls each name. And he tells each name, I'm calling you. You're in the book. Amen? Hallelujah. He searches them out, seeking them out, bringing them to a new birth, filling them with his Spirit. And that process of filling them with his Spirit, he is speaking to them and revealing to them and showing them and giving them a token. Amen. You're in the book. Amen. Bringing you to a place where you can with authority say, I know I'm in the book. Right. And when a devil tries to come and tell me that I'm not, it doesn't shake me because he hasn't read the book either. But the one who knows who's on the book, me. Amen. He told me. My name is in the book. Oh, hallelujah. That's what the token is for. That's why Brother Branham would say things like, this might be the most important message that I've ever preached, the token message. Amen. Because it is the most important thing to the believer. God giving you the proof, the token that your name is there. And any challenge that comes against you, well, he gave me the token. Amen? And it anchors you back into the Word. It ties you right back into this eternal Word that can never fail. It's a tangible experience that links you back to the Bible. It links you right back to the book of Acts. Amen. In my Bible reading right now, I'm in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, they said that the gospel was being preached. They received the Holy Ghost. They had experience. They were baptized in Jesus' name. They received the Holy Ghost and they began to spread the gospel. And then God came to Peter. And he let Peter know that he was going to expand the reaches of this grace. Because he was telling Peter, essentially, there's names that are not just part of the fold of Israel. There's names that are buried out there in those filthy Gentiles that you guys hate for a reason. Because they don't look so good. Right? They're out there worshiping pagan gods and doing all kinds of immoral things and, you know, club on their back, whatever. But he said, I've got names out there. And so he uses Peter to go to the house of Cornelius. Amen. And a man that was desiring God. Well, how could he have that desire? Because there was a call. Amen. There was a name on a book that was calling Cornelius. Amen. And there was something in him that was stirred up. He was a Gentile. But there was something in him that was stirred up. And he was seeking God. And I mean, the Bible, I mean, he prayed and he fasted. We could take an example from that. His faithfulness. Amen. And God came down and met them in that place. And the Bible describes how they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And look at what the apostles said at that time. They said, they were kind of shocked, right? Wow, Gentiles receiving this. But they said, well, I mean, we might as well baptize them because, and this is what they said, because they have the same experience we do. They have received the same thing we did. They got the Holy Spirit just like we did. It tied them right together and they recognized it. They said, God gave them the same, no different, the same experience. That means they're just like us. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, sister, that means you're just like Peter this morning. You're just like Paul. You're just like James, John. Amen. No different. You're just like Brother Branham. You're just like Martin Luther. Amen. Your name's in the same book. Amen. Let's look at this. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. We'll just read this because I like it. How's that? Verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, that these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day, but this is that. Now you see, this, what Peter is doing is he's tying their experience back to the Word. Amen. He says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaids, will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then it is the rising of the sun. He says, notice they were cowards. Yeah, good testimony to have. They were cowards. But they had the mechanics. He's speaking about before they were cowards. But they were all sitting back there saying, well, I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid to go out and make a claim because all these great bishops and things out here, I'm afraid, them priests and things, I'm afraid to make that claim. I'm afraid I'll say I believed on him. Oh, I just can't do it, you see. But all of a sudden, the dynamics come. And what did it do? It not only filled their spirit inside, but it quickened their mechanics. Their bodies were quickened. They were no more cowards. And they went right out in the face of the people. Yes, sir, you men of Judea, you that dwell in Jerusalem. Where, before the dynamics come, they were just mechanics. You men that dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunk as you suppose. I'm one of them. This is that. That's our subtext this morning. I'm one of them. Amen. The people of the book, I'm one of them. He says, I'm one of them, this is that, and I'll show you what it is. It's the scripture. This is that. And I've always said, if this ain't that, let me keep this till that comes. Now, that wasn't spoken of, or no, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour my spirit on all flesh. See, the dynamics come into the mechanics, and they wasn't afraid no more. Remember, we're speaking about being sure. They weren't sure. He said they were cowards. I mean, they weren't any more cowardly than you or I. They weren't wimpy guys, right? But they weren't sure. They hadn't made it sure. But after he came, then they were sure. Amen? Then they knew. They wasn't afraid anymore. They knew where they stood. They were able to go out and be martyred all these different ways. They were able to spread the gospel throughout the world, standing before kings and magistrates and emperors. Some were killed, or some were beheaded, and some were run through, and some were crucified. But they had the token. That was the difference. Amen? And it took them and tied them back into the scripture. And we are connected back with their experience. Amen? We're one of them. We're in the same book. Hallelujah. Our names are in the same book as Peter. You know, it's man that tries to raise up hierarchies and put men above men and, you know, tries to say, well, this one's better than that one. Or, that's not God's economy. Amen? We are all in the same book. It's not like, well, you're in this specific chapter. Well, maybe in time, right? Maybe you got called at a different time. You're in Laodicea, but it's all the same book. Amen. And our inheritance is there. Praise the Lord. That's what the token is for. It's a tangible experience that ties you back to the book of Acts, where you can say, this is that. Amen? And you're not just talking about Joel, or though you are, but you're also talking about Acts, which was talking about Joel. And it ties us right into the Word. And that scripture on the day of Pentecost was a mystery up until the very moment that it wasn't. Now, that scripture in Joel is not a mystery. It's not a mystery to us. It's not a mystery to anybody that believes the book of Acts, right? Because it happened. And so it's not a mystery. But yet, all through time, that prophecy in Joel, through hundreds of years, was a mystery. And now, suddenly, the book of Acts, it's no longer a mystery. Amen. I remember, and maybe I've told this before. If I have, you forgive me. I'm almost 50. Not quite. I can usually remember the stories that I've told. But, you know, they have this thing called, so when you travel out of the country, you have to go through customs, right? Everybody that's traveled overseas or, you know, even through Canada by land or Mexico, it's a little different going through those ports of entry. But if you fly, when you come back to the airport, you have to go through some sort of customs check, right? There's a checkpoint. And coming back into the United States, they have to verify who you are in your paperwork and things, and you can not, you know, things that you can bring in and things you can't bring in. And when you go to different countries, a lot of times you have to declare what you're bringing, all that sort of thing, right? But as part of that, one of the cool things that they have is something called global entry. Anybody heard of it? So global entry allows you to basically become a known traveler. And there's the whole little TSA known traveler thing for traveling inside the United States, domestically, where you can get ahead of the line. I've seen people do that. I have one of those. So when I don't travel with my family, I cut ahead because I have that TSA. They call it TSA pre-check, right? Where they've checked you ahead of time and whatever, you've passed their little thing. Well, so I got that through doing global entry. I had to go to the Customs and Border Patrol office. I had to sit for an interview. They had to fingerprint me. I think they did an FBI background check. There were a lot of things that they had to go through to get that sort of like a clearance, right? That identifies me as somebody that the United States government trusts to a certain extent, okay? And I'm a known entity to them, and they give me a little badge. And when I go to a port of entry, I'm coming back into the country, I can go to their little kiosk, and they have a little thing there, and I put my hand on it. Actually, I think I did both hands, and because they took all my fingerprints, and they scan my fingerprints, and they go and they look at my ID, and they go, okay, yep, this is who you are, and in you go, and it bypasses a whole big process. And so I had that, and I was coming back into the country, and I went to the port of L.A. So this is L.A. International Airport, right? So the international part of that name means that they handle all of these sorts of things. And they have this huge area where you come in, when you're coming into the country, to go through customs, and you line up. And I got into that area where the customs line was, and I kind of came into it from the side, and I looked, and oh, there's the customs, the gates to go into customs, and then I saw the line, and I looked at 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 the line, and then I started walking, looking for the end of the line, and it literally went through. I think it was three buildings. I think it was three. Anyway. It was, I don't know how fast that line, but it wasn't just a single line either. It was four or five lines that were that long. Huge line. And all these people, you can see, people traveling, right? They're just frustrated and they're dying, trying. They just want to get in, and horrible, right? But then I looked at the front again, and oh, there's a little sign over there on the side that says global entry. Hey, that's me. So I went, and there was no line. So I went up there, and global entry, little gate, and the people that were in line at customs, they're looking at me. I'm walking past them, right? Oh, hi, how you doing? Here we go. You been in line long? Couple hours, you know? Walk up to the front. I felt like kind of bad, you know? And because I just walk right up to the front, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, see you. Yeah, come right in here. Choo-choo-choo, boop, boop. Okay, you're through. Just like, it was literally like less than 5 minutes. And, man, that was worth every penny I spent on that. But, you know, it got me thinking about that identity. You know, I was unknown. My name was in a book somewhere. Amen. Now, all these other ones, they probably were let in at some point, but they had to go through this long process or whatever. I had already gone through that. I had already been checked out. Amen? I had already been examined. I had already been found not guilty. Amen? My life had been already judged by the Word of God. My name was already written in the book. All they had to do was look for the token. They give me that little token. They said, whenever you get there, one of these, you just show that. And all they had to do was find that token and say, are you the one that's on the book? They're comparing. Are you that one? Yep, I'm that one. I see you here. Here you are. You, and it lines up with what's on the book. And then you go, hallelujah. Amen. The token Holy Spirit, the token that God gives us, identifies us in the Scripture. Amen. It ties us back to the Word. And what is happening now is our lives are lining up to what is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, glory to God. Now that's a process. That's what we're going through. But that token is proof that our name is there. Amen. And that experience identifies us back to that Word. Hallelujah. Brother Ram says this, the mighty God unveiled before us. He says, I was with John the Baptist and before them critics. I seen the Spirit of God descending. I heard the voice of God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Yes, sir. I sure was identified with him. Now, if you just hear this in a vacuum, you think, man, this guy's a little off his rocker, right? What do you mean you were there and you know, right? He's saying, I was identified with him. That's exactly right. He says, I was identified there at the grave of Lazarus when he raised up Lazarus. I was identified with the woman at the well when he told her her sins. Now, why is he identified with them? You are too. You're in the same book. You're in the same book as the woman at the well. If she's one of them. If Lazarus is one of them, you're in the same book. Amen. Yes, sir, I surely was identified with him in his death. And I was identified on the first Easter. I raised with him from death. I'm identified with him in his death. I was with the 120 in the upper room. I was identified up there with them. Oh, I feel religious. Amen. I was identified there. I'm one of them. I was identified. I got the same experience they had. I was there when it happened to be a true Christian. I witnessed the mighty rushing wind coming. I witnessed that. I felt the power of God as it shook. I was with them that spoke in tongues. I felt the anointing come in there. I was with them. I was identified with them when the Holy Ghost began to speak through tongues with them. And I was with Peter before the critics in Acts 2 when he preached the great sermon. I was identified with him. Hallelujah. I know I'm one of them because he told me and he gave me the token. And he identified me with them. Hallelujah. The same experience for every child of God. No exceptions, good or bad. Amen. There's not some of us that it's, oh, you know, well, you really need that experience. And so we'll give you a little something extra. No, every child of God must have that token. I love that about God. He's consistent. Amen. You can trust him. You can rely on him and rely on his word because it's the same for every man, woman, child. It's the same for every believer. He doesn't make an exception. That's why, you know, I can't stand with anybody in this age that says, oh, the Holy Ghost comes a different way. Really? So he's making exceptions. You're not identified then with the early church. You're not identified in the Scripture. If you got the Holy Ghost a different way, then your experience doesn't match the Bible. Right? I want my experience to match the Bible. Every name on the book will be called, reborn, and then manifested. That's his plan. That's his purpose. That's what he's doing. Every name called, birthed, and then manifested. Call, birthed, manifested. Amen? Every child of God goes through that. We are all in the same class, if you will. The same book, the same inheritance. Our inheritance is the same book. That means we should have the same expectations. Now we know that there will be some that won't taste death and different things like that based on the time that we are living in. There's differences in that regard. But everything that's promised in the book belongs to every child who's in the book. That's why so much of Brother Branham's ministry was taking us back to everything that was provided for us in the atonement. So we have the same expectation. Amen? If he did it for one, he'll do it for all. Let's read this, the unchangeable God. He says, there are many things, and practically all things change. Times change, people change, weather change, nations change, but God is unchangeable. He does not change. He's the same all the time. God is an infinite God. I do not believe there would be any word that could explain the word or any way to explain the word infinite because it's the infinity. In other words, you know, it's true. We say the word infinite, but we really don't know, understand infinite, right? He's infinite. Now you and I can say a certain thing and next year we'll have to change it maybe or do something different because we are finite. We don't know all things, but he is perfect. And his first decision or his second decision will have to be like the first. Or if he makes another decision, then he did not act right when he made the first one. His first thought is the right one. Amen? Then that puts him finite, like I am or you are, if he changes his mind, right? If he says, oh, well, I did it that way, but that wasn't quite right. Let me fix that. Let me patch it up a little bit. He says, what I'm trying to do before this healing service comes is to instill in you a faith in God, because that's what it takes for healing or salvation. You must have faith in God. And God is no greater than his word. No more perfect than his word, because God and his word is the self same thing, and you are no better than your word. So God is no better than his word, and your word is what you are. God's word is what he is. Now any person knows that if God was called on the scene once to save a man that was lost, and God saved that man by his faith, the next man that calls on God, God will have to save that man if he comes on the same grounds that the first man came on. Right? He can't be treating people differently. That's why the Bible says he's no respecter of persons. He says if he comes on the same grounds that the first man came on, then if there's a sick man and he pleads to God for mercy and God gives him mercy and healing on the basis of his faith, the next man that comes on them same grounds and asks the same question, God's got to act the same way or he acted wrong when he acted the first time. Amen. What a rest. What a settling. Amen? That we can depend on God and we can depend on his word. We don't have to wonder, well, I don't know, because in this, my situation, it's this, and then, you know, and now, maybe, no. That's what man's teachings have done. Right? That's what denominational church thinking has tried to do. They say, well, he used to do this in a certain way, but at this some point along the way, he stopped doing that and now he does it. Well, how can I have any trust in that? How can I have any rest in that? How can I rest my soul in that? I rest my soul in God's word and in his promise. That becomes, brother, sister, our abiding place. Amen? He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. That's our abiding place. Just a couple more quotes, and then we'll finish up here. This is from the Identified Masterpiece of God. He says, I am now identified in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not something out here on the street or something 40 years ago. I have it right now. The glory and power of God, of forgiveness of sins. I see him heal the sick and open the blinded eyes and see him foretell things and read the hearts of the people. I'm identified with him in his ministry at this last day. Glory to God. I'm identified with him for deliverance in this last day. I trust to be part of that great bride that's coming some of these days. No matter what the world may say, they may call us crazy, hysterical, Beelzebub or heretics or whatever they want to be. I still want to be identified with that group. I'm still there. I'm remaining there. I was born there. I want to stay there. I'll always be there because God placed me there. I left my church to come and identify myself with a bunch of holy rollers. But I'm one of them. I'm identified with them. They said, Billy, you lost your mind. Maybe I did, but I found my mind, the mind of Christ. I found his word. I found his presence. I found that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't care what anyone else thinks about it. This is me. There's a whole industry out there of people that are trying to find out, who am I? You can read books, and now there's blogs and vlogs, and you can follow influencers, and they're all trying to figure out, and they want to be able to declare, this is me. Right? Look at what the prophet of God declaring right here. This is me. I'm the one that has to make my identification. I'm identified with him by God's word. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And I'm glad I'm identified in that. Yes, sir. That's our abiding place. That's where we come to and stay at as believers. That's where our life, everything in our life is lived from that place of you saying, this is me. Amen? I'm one of them. I'm identified in that scripture. I'm identified in the book. That's me. No matter what the world says about them, what churches say about them, what anybody says about them, that's me. Amen. And I'm unveiling a mystery. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a mystery that was there before the foundation was laid. And maybe if there was angels around to look upon it, they would have looked at it and go, that's a mystery. But now, it's being revealed. The mystery of who I am. And you're unveiling the mystery of who you are. Amen. Amen. You know, a little seed? A seed is a mystery. Amen. You don't know wonder what a seed is? You know, maybe if you've seen it before, you could tell what it is, but you don't really know until you plant it. And you plant it and it begins to come up. And it begins to get less mysterious because it's starting to grow and it's starting to become a plant. But when it brings forth fruit, the mystery is gone. There's absolutely no doubt what it is. Amen? When we begin to live and manifest and bring forth fruit and reflect our Father and live out the Word, we're not a mystery anymore. Amen? All right, last one. I think it's the last. No, I got two more. Is that all right? Amen. This is from the harvest time. He says, I was at the meeting the other night. That little assembly of God, brother and sister, sang that song. I wonder if John saw me when he saw the nations gathered. Did he see me? Oh, what a statement about, just the revelation of the church, right? That was the inspiration. Did he see me? Did John see me? And Brother Branham comes back and he says, sure he did. If your name's on that book. Amen. Amen. And when John's name was on it too. And he wept because there was nobody that could touch it. And then one of the elders came and said, weep not, John, for the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. And John was looking around to find a lion, and out from behind the curtain come a lamb. a lamb that had been slain since the before the foundation of the world. And then he saw a bloody lamb come out, and he took that book out of the right hand of him and called everything that was on that book. Hallelujah. Now, I just love the fact that that book is written and it's complete before the foundation of the world, and every name is going to come forth. He's not going to leave any out. He's not going to add any extra. Amen? He says he called... he come out and take the book, and he called everything that was on that book. It's the complete book of redemption. And this is it. The book of redemption. He redeemed all was in that book. Not out of the book. Anything that had a beginning has an end. But if you've got eternal life, you never did begin. And you cannot end. Because you're sons and daughters of God. Attributes of his thoughts and in his word. And you have no ending of life if your name is on that book. You see, it's all about finding out. Right? Discovery. Trying to find out. You need to know. It's my name on the book. If your name, you have no ending of life if your name is on that book. The Lamb come to redeem it. Not all that profess Christians. Not all that try and live good and holy. But those whose names are written there. He redeemed that and that alone. Whose names were on the book. Amen. And then just finally, we're going to read from Perfect Faith here. But amen. Hallelujah. I think of that song, you know, when John looked out there. He saw me. Yes. Amen? He didn't physically see me, but my name was on the book. I was one of the names that he saw. And you know, brother, sister, when we talk about finding yourself in the volume of the book, that's a place where you're written. Amen? You find out your name is there. Amen? You've got to know. Because you can... respond to the devil with that. And you know, I've been thinking about this. This would just be a good, it's just a good tool in your toolbox. You got that token life. You just remind the devil, my name's in the book. Amen. Devil comes against you, tries to tempt you or sow lies. To your heart, you say, devil, is your name in that book? Because my name is in that book. Amen. Amen. He doesn't have, there's nothing that can come against that. If you really believe it. So let's just read this. Let's stand and let's just read this. We're going to use this quote here to lead into tonight, Lord willing, and we'll maybe dig into this thought a little bit deeper tonight, Lord willing. This is Perfect Faith. Now, I don't know about you, but for many times, you know, when I hear that Perfect Faith, that kind of like scared me a little bit. It's like, man, how can I have perfect faith? Right? Man, it takes perfect faith. Man, I don't even have like 20% faith. Anybody relate to that? Perfect faith? But he gives you a key here. Right? And he's giving us a key of what our faith is really anchored in. Listen to this. He says, now, the only thing you have to do then is have faith in what you are. Oh. Have faith in what you are. Well, I'm a sinner. No, wrong way. You're looking at the wrong place. Yes. Well, I'm a failure. No. Look at the book. Look at the unveiled mystery. Faith in what you are. Isn't that amazing? Brother Branham says, you don't have to just grab a hold of the promise and grab a hold of the word. And man, you know, he talks about, you know, standing against demon powers and speaking. No, he's saying if you want that, have faith in who you are. What you are. What God made you to be. What he predestinated you to be. And he says also, have faith in what the word says you are. Just, by the way, they're the same thing. Right? He says Jesus had faith in the word of God that said what he was. It is written of, not just it is written of me. Didn't David and the Psalms and the prophets and all of them speak of him? So Jesus could identify himself in the scripture, right? Like we've been bringing out. He says, I am the bread of life that come from God out of heaven. Amen. I am the tree of life from the Garden of Eden. I am all of these things. I am that I am. And he knew with that perfect faith that he was the anointed Messiah, that the Spirit of God was upon him. And he said, now I myself do nothing, but it's my faith in God, and God was with him, and the word was made manifest. And when the word of God comes in you, amen, it's made manifest, for you are a believer. Amen. Amen. When the word of God comes in you, it's made manifest, for you are a believer. And a believer is the faith of God that moves in you. Do you like that? Oh, he says, I like teaching of what faith really is. Perfect faith. Amen? It's knowing who you are. It's knowing what the word says you are. Hallelujah. And what you're to be doing. It's not what you've done. It's who you are. But I've done, not what you've done, but who you are. It's what he's done. What he did made you who you are. Amen. Brother, sister, this is the hour. This is the time to be sure. We don't know the day or the hour of the Lord's coming, but we know the season, and we're in the season. Things on the world stage are shaping up. We see things, prophecies coming to pass. We know this is time. We see the darkness pressing in from all around us. We feel it. We know it. Now is the time. We've got to be sure. That's what it comes down to. Be sure. If you're not sure, you can be sure. Amen? If you are sure, man, you should be encouraged this morning. You should be happy. Man, you should be walking with confidence this morning. My name is in that book. Amen. Nobody can take it out. Amen. Devil, you didn't put it in there. You can't take it out. No man put it in there. No man can take it out. I'm an overcomer. Amen. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. This is what I love about this. We'll close. We're wrapping this up. But this quote here, in perfect faith, Brother Branham shows us how Jesus reacted and how he acted because he knew who he was. He was bold with it. He said, I am the bread of life. Now, for somebody to stand up and say, I am the I am, you better know what you're talking about. That's why he said either he was who he was or he was mad. Right? Because you'd have to be insane to stand up before people and say things like that. Unless it was true. And so, he knew who he was. He knew where he stood. And because of that, it brought a boldness to him. It brought a power. Just knowing that. Think of what it'll do to you this morning. What if it'll do that for him, it'll do it for you. knowing that you're not the Messiah. We know that. But he says, the works that I do. What's the scripture? Shall you do also. And greater than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Well, it's either true or it isn't. Amen? And if you had the same experience that they had, you do the same works. You're entitled to the same thing. You have the same inheritance. You're in the same book. You're in the same will. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, for your word this morning. Father, just pray that you'd somehow, Lord, just take these, Lord, scattered thoughts, Father, and just kind of bring it all together, Lord, for your children this morning. And I pray that, Lord, your children just be encouraged, Father, that each one would, Lord, if they're not sure, Lord, that they would make it sure. And if they have made it sure, Lord, sometimes even we need to be reminded, Lord. And you remind us, you're faithful to do that, to come. And sometimes our flesh gets in the way and it overshadows that certainty for us. But Lord, somehow your spirit comes and anoints your word, Lord. And it just reminds us who we are, Lord. It reminds us what you've said about us. And it reminds us, Lord, our position. That we don't have to stand for anything that the devil would throw. We don't have to bow down to any demon in hell. Lord, our position in you is firm, founded, solid. We're standing on solid ground. We're identified in your word this morning. And Father, I pray that, Lord, if there's any that just need to be reminded of that, Lord, that, Lord, your word, Lord, your spirit would just anoint your word and quicken it, Lord, to their hearts, Lord. Just remind them, Father. And if they don't know, Lord, may you just draw them, Father. May you call. We all got to respond to that call. Some through the fire, some through the flood. Sometimes we come through great trials, Lord. Sometimes some fight it harder than others. But everyone that's on that book is going to come. We believe that, Lord. But we also believe that everyone on that book has something in them to hear your call and to respond to it, and a desire to respond to it. Oh, so Lord, we just rejoice in these things and we thank you, Father. Help us be ready for your soon coming, Lord. Help us be walking so close to you, Lord. So filled, Lord, with the goodness of God. Oh, Lord, I pray that you just encourage your children this morning. We love you, Lord. Bless your word, Father. May it just be stirred up in our hearts. We give you all the praise and the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his word for me. Yes, his love